It's hard when you're trying to do the right thing and then you've got the wrong thing there right in your face, you know, tempting you.
43-year-old Renee Reek stands outside the Capitol Motel as cars rush by on the Madison Beltline just about 20 yards away. She's been here 3 weeks since she got out of prison for her most recent parole revocation for drug use. She's been on probation and in and out of prison since 1989 on drug and check forging convictions.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. It's very hard to find a job and a place when you've been in the system. And then it's hard when you're broke and you've got somebody in your face hollering, well, I can help you out if. It's hard.
That if means money for sex or sex for drugs, and it's something lots of female offenders face when they end up in the Department of Corrections' last resort placement, like the Capitol Motel. Tamara Ullman from the ex-offender support group Voices Beyond Bars served time on drug convictions and knows what it's like. But she says until there are more halfway houses with supervision and support for released inmates, people like Renee Reek have to find the willpower to resist the pull of the streets.
You know, the element that's in those hotels that are cheap and that are willing to allow people like us to be in it is you've got drugs, you've got prostitution, you've got all of the things that taunt you from your past that you don't want to be in anymore is right in your face. They're knocking on the door, they're saying, hey, honey, how you doing, you know? And so you've got to decide, you've got to have a stronger plan than opening that door. And in fact, I would recommend don't open the door, call the police.
But Ullman says that's not what someone who's just out of prison and is used to the street life is likely to do, especially if they're like Renee Reek and have no job skills and have either missed or avoided the chance to get drug treatment before being released.
I can't eat, you know, I can't survive over here unless I give in to the street.
And giving into the streets means Reek will likely become one of the 40% of ex-offenders who end up back in jail or prison. That already happened to one of her fellow Capitol Motel parolees, Greg Crum. Before being rearrested for drug use, he complained about the obstacles, he says, the parole system put in his way as he tried to live up to the conditions of his parole and find work and housing.
When you go to look for work, a guy can go, hey, I'm gonna hire you right now, let's go. You gotta go, hold on a minute, let's call my PO and make sure this is okay. The system's set up for failure.
Crum says he also applied for and was accepted into an auto mechanic training program at the Madison Area Technical College, but his parole officer told him because of his sex offender status, she'd have to talk to the college before she'd allow him to go.
Why didn't you do that before I applied so that I can go ahead and start? Oh man, that's like playing ring around the rosy. It's just you ask and wait, ask. It's hurry up and wait, basically.
Now Crum's parole agent says he's decided to go back to prison rather than try again to find work under the strict rules parole would impose on him. It's a story that John Anderson of the Milwaukee organization Esperanza Unida is all too familiar with. Anderson's been working with ex-offenders for more than a decade, helping them find jobs after they complete training programs in automotive repair, welding, and construction.
There was a young gentleman who took our automotive training, and his particular parole officer said that, you know, I don't think you're going to make it. I think you're going to fail, and you'll be back in prison before we know it.
The agent began scheduling appointments for the offender during his training, forcing him to make a choice between jail and the possibility of a job.
We had to encourage, if not beg at points in times, for this person to stop interfering in the process. Because if he can't be in two places at once, and if he does, obviously if he doesn't go into his appointment well, then he risks being, you know, put in jail.
Anderson knows another man who, after finding low-wage employment to support him during training, gave up because he couldn't make enough to feed himself.
By the time he got his check, after taxes, child support, and restitution, he didn't have enough money to live on and was eating in shelters every day, soup kitchens, and was contemplating reoffending so he can go home. So he said, and I said, home, and he said, yeah, go back to prison because, you know, I have nothing.
Still, Unida Esperanza has had success in training hundreds of ex-offenders and finding them family-supporting jobs as welders and auto mechanics. And despite the obstacles that the criminal justice system often puts in their path, the system also has one very successful model that works for inmates who decide they want to start working before they get out.
Last week, my daughter's 17th birthday, I was able to buy her a car, you know, for her birthday. You know, I felt good about that. You know, I really felt good because I'm actually being a father instead of somebody she knows through a visiting room or through the mail.
That's 45-year-old Daniel Shotwell taking a break from carving up flagstones at the Fond du Lac Stone Factory. After spending more than 7 years in prison for burglary, he has a good-paying job now thanks to the Fox Lake Minimum Security Work Release Program.
The main key is employment. They gave me a chance to come here to work, because I went through the whole system as far as from max to medium to minimum. Then once I got the minimum, I came into this here, and I never thought I was going to come back and work here.
We'll find out more about the successes of work release tomorrow. Gil Halstead, Wisconsin Public Radio.